Hello, everyone. I'm Wendell. I'm loved by God and control. I've had issues with pornography and alcohol and rage and panic and depression. Last week, we talked a little bit about understanding God's love as we think about the very, very young and the very, very old. That we struggle, we always put a but after it every time. God loves me, but I need to do better. I need to go to church more. I need to give more money. I need to pray longer. I need to read longer. We always stick a but after it. There's some kind of add-on that we feel like we're not there yet. You know, God loves everybody else, but he doesn't love me. There's always a God loves me, but we always do that. And so we talked about the way we love the very, very young and the very, very old. Because the but that we put behind God loves me is always, I need to do something. I need to produce something. I need to perform better. And you talk about the very, very young and you talk about the very, very old. What do they produce? We said poop. Because that's what they produce. The very, very young and the very, very old produce poop. And we have to clean it up in both cases. And we do it because we love them. So they can't fix your computer. They can't adjust the thermostat. They can't drive you to work. They can't fix your lunch. They can't do squat. They can't do anything but just be. And yet we absolutely adore them. So if we could do that with the very young, and we can do that with the very old, that would make us better parents than God or better people than God, right? Because there is no but with your kids. And there is no but with the seniors that we take care of, right? There is none. It's not, I love you, but. So we can do that, but God can't. Somehow we say, God loves me, but. Which literally, in saying that, says we're better at treating each other than God is at treating us. And I don't want to go there. I can't go there. So by using that kind of thinking, you have to come to the trust, the realization that God's love for us has no buts, period. There is nothing we can do, not do, improve upon, anything to make him love us more or less. His love for us is just simply because we are. Not because of what we do, it's because we are. So I got to thinking, how would that translate over into the way we love each other? What would that look like? Using the example of the very young and the very old. And then I pulled a few other thoughts in with this one because I thought it applies in other places as well. We've talked in here several times about probably the greatest indicator or the greatest gift of love we could give to somebody is to really hear them. Not just listen to the details and the facts of what they're saying, but listen to who they are. What are your hopes and dreams in life? What are you feeling right now? What are your deepest feelings right now? It's listening. Like God listens to us, listening involves so much more than just, I remember the color you described and the number of people there were. No. It's not just getting the details. It's getting the inner stuff. How are you really feeling? Where are you at in life? So if you have, like we have three grandkids. And the youngest one, we didn't have this advantage with the oldest one because she was the only one. But there was never any question what Caroline was saying. She was very articulate, very persistent, and you knew what she was saying. Well, then she started babbling, you know. We had two interpreters. We had Caroline and Carter, who were the interpreters. And so she would, and her babblings weren't a simple little two or three. She described whole worlds and kingdoms in her babblings. She would just, you know, just all you had to do is push play, and here she goes. And so we would have to, you know, and I found her mind, and even today even more so, her mind is a fascinating place to visit. I'm not being silly. It is a fascinating place to visit. But I understand every word she says now. But back then, it was like, what did you say? You were just like, say that again. Say it slower. Caroline, what did she say? Carter, what did she say? Somebody interpret what she said. That's some pretty intense listening right there. I remember when Robbie's mother, she was sick for a long time before she went on to be with Jesus. And she would lay there in the nursing home, and her dad would sit there with her. She might go for days without making even a noise. Not even a noise. And then all of a sudden one day she would say something. And I got this clear, and I asked Robbie about it because she knew I was going to share it tonight. She was always talking about the little children she saw. She would wake up just enough, and she would reach for them and say, see those little children. And every once in a while, it would almost sound like the twins, which would have been Robbie and her twin brother, Bobby. See those little children. Days and days and days with zero communication. Nothing. I mean, you had to clean her up. You had to give her a shower. Had to force feed her food and make her drink. And she would say two or three words. And it was like the whole world stopped to hear what she had to say. Everybody in the room, what did Mama just say? What did she just say? What did you hear her say? I thought she said this. Well, I thought she said that. So it's like we're completely honed in on every word that this person, laying word that she just said. Think about if you have somebody who is hearing impaired. Or think about if you have somebody who has a speech impediment or whatever. And you listen to them in a different way. You learn with that person to read in body language. You learn to read in all kinds of stuff that you don't have to in a normal conversation. Think about a foreigner. Think about somebody who moves in next door and they don't speak English. And you're sitting there struggling to catch one or two words you understand or emotion or a body language. And yet with the people we love the most, we spend the whole day apart. I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on them. We're going somewhere with this. Don't go guilty on us. but we work all day and we get home and we get with the person that we love the most, that we pledged our lives to. And it's like, how was your day? Fine, good. How was mine? Fine, good. Boom, that's it. You know? Well, I want to talk a little bit more about this. Well, I know, but I'm going to go do this first. And then, you know, then there's a good TV show on, blah, blah, blah. And it's not to make us feel guilty. But think about your close friends. Think about the people in your life. Think about your roommates. Think about your children. Think about the people you work with. Think about the people that you carpool with. Think about the people you come into normal, everyday contact with. They don't get the same attention that Claire does when she tries to tell a story, or that her mom got when she said those few words on her bed, or a foreigner you're trying to understand. They don't get that same attention. So I'm wanting to get to the place, and I feel so foolish and so like I'm in kindergarten when I start thinking about this. But what if every single one here, everyone in my life, doesn't matter, young, old, doesn't matter who it is, what if every single person you honor what they're saying? All I want to know is, what are you saying? And who are you right now? And how are you feeling right now? There is no room for me to be thinking about my expertise response. There's no room for me to think about, I've got a story that tops that. I've got a joke that's funnier than that. There's no room for, I have a shared experience. Let's see, if I tell it this way, then they'll really feel like we're pals. So see my mind, see it going? We feel like we're empathizing, but my mind's going with, and I'll tell that part, I'll leave that part out because they don't know them. And you see, busy, 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 that person's pouring their heart out, and my mind's all in love. All we want to help that person, but all in love, our mind has left that conversation. It literally has, and now it's phrasing and editing how it's going to spit back out its empathetic response. You know, that reminds me of a story, blah, blah, blah. The intent there is so good. I don't think we should have regret or guilt, but I'm thinking about all the times I've done that in my life, meaning really, really well, really wanting to help that person. But as soon as I started thinking of a response, I stopped listening to them. Maybe women say they can double task and, you know, come up with all that. I don't buy it. Sorry. Don't buy it. If they can, I can too. But anyway, I don't think humans, male and female, I don't think humans can really be completely invested in that person while they're formulating a response in their mind. I don't care whether you're a man, woman, or child. You can't do it. And so I'm to the place now where I'm telling myself, just to learn him, Claire. Just like I am with little Claire. I don't know if you'll ever get to meet Claire. She is a piece of work. She give you some examples. At home, yeah, she's 4. Yeah, and I don't ever keep track of the ages. I just know she's a booger. When she was home, every time she took a nap, she'd get in her bedroom. And she's good to go to sleep. It's no big deal to take a nap. She can't take a nap in any kind of clothing except her tidy whities. So inevitably, Bethany'd put her down for a nap, and every time she went to find her, she would be stripped out to her tidy whities. So she goes to school, and it's nap time. And so the teacher walks back in the corner, and there's Claire snuggled down on her sleepy mat in her tidy whities, and it's like, so she calls Bethany. It's like, we got a problem here. And Bethany said, no, it's not really a problem. This is just, but that's the independence level of little Claire. She just marches to the beat of her own drum, and she, you know. So they were at our house it was over last summer, I think it was. I don't know. Anyway, we had the three of them. I've got tats. Bethany's got tats. Our son Jacob has tats. And so Claire sees all these tattoos, and she wants one. So we're sitting in the family room. You know, we hadn't been, we thought, the five of us, it's hard, we're not used to keeping head counts like we used to. You know, we hadn't been parents for a while, so we lost count. We're sitting there, the two of us adults and Carter and Caroline all watching TV, and we're all involved, and all of a sudden I realize we're missing somebody. And when Claire's the missing person, you're usually, you know. And I walked in the living room, and there she sits with all the markers. Not crayons, but markers. And boy, has she ever got some artwork going. Got all kinds of really cool artwork. And she looked up at me like, oh, no, I've had it. Because that's what happens a lot of times. Eyes were getting big. And I said, nah, let's just put these up for now. And because I had a kind of an aha moment about it. So thank goodness I did. So I put the stuff up and said, let's just go in the other room. We'll talk about this later. So when I was putting her in bed, I said, you see these tattoos on Mama and on Uncle Jake and on Pa, and is that what you were doing? She said, yeah, I wanted my own tattoos. And that was a change in our relationship, me and little Claire. She's always kind of rebellious and standoffish to the adults. She's sneaky, she's deviant in a way, but it's like, I don't trust adults. I don't trust them to know what's in my world. And so that one incident, I thought, she lives in her own world and lives to her own rhythm and lives in her own story. I wonder what that's like. So every time I've been with Claire, this last time, the other kids are getting to the place where they give you the hug when you get there, and then they go off and play. And she wanted to sit in Pa's lap. So we're sitting there, and I started to ask her questions. And started to ask, can you tell, what kind of story goes on in your mind? What story have you got going on? So she started telling me this story, and I started asking her more about it. And I started entering in to the story, and I thought, this little girl has a whole world inside her mind. A whole series of events and people and personalities and feelings and desires. And nobody takes the time. They don't have the time. Scott and Bethany don't have the time. Nobody takes the time to find out what's going on in this little head. And the world is full of people, not just little children. The world is full of people who have got stuff going on, and we wonder why all the misbehavior, why the disrespect, why the rebellion, why the hatred, why the jealousy, why is all this stuff going on? A lot of it is due to woundedness, for sure. But if people are listened to, they will start your listening. And now, when I go down there, all Claire wants to do is sit in Pa's lap. Because Pa wants into my world. And I don't have many people who want into my world. And I want to share that with him. So, I really don't know how to do this with adults. Other than ask questions. And if we could use a picture, a metaphor like a bullseye, like an archery bullseye, the great big kind, you know, that you shoot your arrows into, the big round one with circles. I would say that when we first, I'm shooting arrows at a distance here, just maybe I'll hit my mark. But I'm thinking that when we start out in a conversation with somebody, we kind of shoot for the outer circles of that target. We don't go for the bullseye, you know. What is the meaning and purpose of your life? It's probably not a good starter question. It'd be better to hit some of the outer, like, where are you from? What do you do when you got some free time? We were going through Walmart. This shocked her to death. We were going through Walmart the other day. I had to get a tire fixed, so we were killing time while they were working on it in the tire shop. And this little Asian girl grabs me and is trying to sell me internet or something. I don't know what it was. And so asking me all these questions, you know, right and left. And so after she finally kind of had written for a while and things had calmed down, I started asking her questions. I found out she was Filipino. She had been raised in China. She went to a Christian high school in China. And somebody from David Lipscomb showed up in marketing. And now she's got this job. I think it was DirecTV. Yeah. And so the longer we talked, the more I thought, this whole conversation is switching from trying to get him to buy the product to somebody wants to hear my story. And so she started sharing more of the story. And so as I treaded on that ice, I thought, I don't know how thick it is, thin it is. I don't know how much I should. I don't want to be invasive. I don't want to get her in trouble with her superiors. So what can I? So I just started asking kind of questions that go in the big circle, you know. And then I found out that she was good with answer no. So personal. Do you like what you're doing? Do you enjoy doing this? She was scared. She kept saying, I'm so sorry I messed this up. And so when it left, when time was over, I looked at her and I said, you keep doing what you're doing. You're good at it. And you keep doing this. And you're going to get better. You could just see the look, you know. And Robbie was like, I can't believe you stood there and talked to her that long. But it was just a cool experience. Of us, and it's in listening is involved, and in order to listen, you have to kind of get them to talk. In order to get them to talk, then you have to ask a few questions. And you know, my dad always used to tell me, do the math, boy. You know, you got two of these and one of these, just do the math. You know, spend more time now than this. And I'm a talker. I mean, what am I doing right now? So, yeah, Robbie says, really? She always gets to hear these lessons two or three times because I work through them all week. But what would happen if we went into any relationship, whether it's just an anonymous one at Walmart or somebody we really know, and decided, I am going to do my best to do nothing but ask questions. I'm not going to try to fix them. I'm not even going to try to come up with a story that empathizes with them. I'm just going to ask questions. Anything else in our small groups, we do nothing else. We do learn to listen. And it bugs the snot out of newbies. You mean I got to sit here? Like our last men's group had like a dozen guys, I think, in it. It took a long time to get around the circle. If you weren't good at listening, you almost got wanted to get up and leave. But after a while, you realized everybody is opening their heart and sharing their story. There was some good stuff happened in there. But that's one of the benefits. If you're in a group, let it teach you how to listen and really listen to what the people are sharing as we go around. I don't really have anything else to say tonight. We're done way. But it just, family. And so, if you knew this, I would want you to tell me this. You know what I'm saying? And this angle on it really gives me a new handle. I want to listen to everybody the way I listened to Claire and the way she listened to her mother and the way you would listen to a foreigner or someone who is hearing impaired or whatever. Everybody's going to laugh. I like this term and not everybody likes it. Using all of your spidey senses. Now, some people are like that. I'm talking about with spidey senses, right? You got the intuition going. You got the radars going. And you know what? I don't care if you say you don't have them. You do. Everybody's got them. If you're human, you got spidey senses. And you can pick up on body language. You can pick up on that stuff. So what if all of us go from this place and say, what am I going to do this week? I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen. I'm going to shut this up and get these things activated. I want to hear their story. And I want to let them know that they're heard. So I don't know if that's helpful. If I didn't know it and you knew it, I'd want you to tell me that. So, all right. It's all yours, Matt.
Well, each week we take up any kind of contribution you'd like to make. There's certainly no obligation to that, but at this time I will pass around anything. All the money stays right with Pathway.
The only song going through my head is Spider-Man, Spider-Man.
Do you know what a spider does?
Does all the things a spider can. I don't know.
Let's go with the one we had planned.
I don't know. It's pretty weird, too, I have to say.
Thank you.
together.